All right. Good morning, and thank you for coming. Yes, please. If you get the light. So I'm also looking at carbon and nitrogen dynamics, but in coal mine soils that have been amended with poultry manure. And the main focus of this research is to address two environmental problems in Pennsylvania. The first being abandoned and active coal mines. These cover a large area of the state of Pennsylvania. And another problem there is excess animal manure production. So the idea would be to use this excess manure to revegetate these abandoned mine sites. And ultimately, we actually want to produce switchgrass on these sites, which would be used for a biofuel. So we don't want to just reclaim them, but we also want to make these very productive lands. And to do that, we have to add a lot of nutrients because these mine lands are very lacking in organic carbon and nutrients. So not only can we reclaim these sites and potentially produce biofuels, there's also a large potential for carbon and nitrogen sequestration in these soils. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on with this presentation. Like I mentioned before, we need large quantities of nutrients to successfully revegetate these sites and produce high yields, but the risk of nutrient loss is quite high. So it's been shown quite clearly that adding carbon helps retain those nutrients. And here you can see as the carbon-nitrogen ratio increases, your percent of nitrogen mineralized decreases. And again, if you're comparing fresh manure to a composted manure, that significantly decreases the amount of nitrogen that could potentially be lost by leaching. So based on this concept, we are testing two approaches to modifying this carbon to nitrogen ratio of this poultry manure. And the first is composting the material with leaf and yard waste. And the second is adjusting that ratio by adding paper mill sludge, the byproduct of the paper mill industry, to fresh poultry layer manure. So to test these amendments on a mine site, we established a site in eastern Pennsylvania here in Schuylkill County about in April of 2006. And this is what the site looked like before any amendments were applied, and this is about a year and a half later. And this site is relatively low soil pH, 5.1, and very channery sandy loam, so it's not really great soil and very lacking in nutrients, as you can see, not great vegetative growth. These are the amendments that were applied on this field treatment. The first is a lime and fertilizer amendment that was applied as a kind of traditional reclamation practice. There are two different rates of composted poultry manure and a manure plus paper mill sludge in two different C to N ratios, 20 to 1 and 30 to 1. And these are the rates at which they were added, but what I really want to point out is how much nitrogen and carbon were added with these different amendments. This nitrogen is applied at a typical agronomic rate for warm season grasses in Pennsylvania. And compared to all the organic amendments, it's very small. So we're adding a lot of nutrients and carbon to these systems. So to focus on this nitrogen and carbon cycling, I scaled down these rates into more lab size samples. So these are the rates of application that I used for 200 grams of soil in the lab. And they're the same ratios as were applied in the field, but just on a small lab scale. And so the lab experiment, the idea behind that is to take these amended soils, bring them under controlled conditions, and intensively leach them for a year to get rid of all the labile and nitrogen and carbon. And ultimately, this will help us understand how these amendments affect the stable and labile pools of carbon and nitrogen. So if you look at this schematic here, kind of picture a soil having these different pools of carbon and nitrogen. Normally, you would cycle through and have this mineralization, and it would take it back up. With this experiment, we're cutting off that cycle and leaching out all the mineral nitrogen. So at the end of 1 year, what we're left with, we can consider stable nitrogen and carbon. So the design of this experiment and the rest of the talk, I'll use these year one and year two categories. The year one samples are materials that were taken, raw materials, and manufactured in the lab. I mixed them with soil in the same rates that I mentioned before. These year two samples I took directly from the field experiment 1 year after amendments had been incorporated. So they're kind of parallel experiments looking at how carbon and nitrogen changes immediately following amendment application, and then a year after they've already been in the field. All of these soils were incubated at 20 degrees C and leached multiple times over the course of the year in decreasing increments. So in the beginning of the experiment, it was every 5-7 days. By the end, it was every month. And all of these leachates were analyzed for ammonium and nitrate. And here's the vacuum apparatus that was used to leach and then some of the leachates that came out of these soils. I also measured CO2 headspace, and I did this by taking these little Buchner funnels that had the soil and putting them in plastic containers and sealing them for 6 hours, and I take a measurement before and after. And with the initial and final soils, the K2SO4 extraction, chloroform fumigation to get at microbial biomass, and then an elemental analysis of the soils. So to start with nitrogen results, here I have the labile nitrogen, which I'm including as nitrate and ammonium, over the course of the experiment. And this first 390 days represents the first year, and then this is about 365 to 750 days, that's the second year, year two experiment. So in the year one experiment, see a large initial flush of labile nitrogen from all treatments in the first month of the experiment, and there's really not much loss from any treatments thereafter. And in the second year, there's just a lot of variability. So a year after the soils have been amended, plus a year after intensive leaching, they're still not losing appreciable amounts of labile nitrogen. Here's a summary of all the nitrogen data, and on the top here we have the five treatments that were applied, plus a reference soil, which was a soil taken at the field site, but no amendments were applied. And this is for year one and year two. So to start with, this labile nitrogen, and all these letters are, if they're different, it's difference at alpha 0.05 within rows. There's no column differences here. But within rows, this labile nitrogen, there's no difference among amendments in the amount of labile nitrogen lost. So this means that even given the different nitrogen additions, they all have the same potential to mineralize nitrogen under these intensive leaching conditions. In the second year, these pools were much smaller. So as we saw in the graph before, they're not losing nearly as much nitrogen. So after a year in the field and a year of intensive leaching, they're not losing appreciable quantities. Then there are just much smaller, very small treatment differences. Looking at microbial biomass, you can see the manure and paper mill sludge have much larger pools of microbial biomass than either the compost treatments or the lime and fertilizer. So this could suggest enhanced microbial activity associated with this fresh manure. In the second year, however, we don't see the same differences among the organic treatments, although all the organic treatments are having larger pools of microbial biomass than the lime and fertilizer. And finally, looking at the stable nitrogen pools that we're left with at the end of the year, see these organic treatments are all better than the lime and fertilizer. They're all significantly different. This higher rate of compost is actually producing the largest pool of stable nitrogen. What's also interesting is to compare this reference soil with no amendment to the lime and fertilizer. And we're actually ending up with a smaller pool of stable nitrogen when we add lime and fertilizer than if we did nothing to the soil. And that can be attributed to the flush of mineralization when this N was added. But regardless, this lime and fertilizer treatment is not sequestering nitrogen as efficiently as these organic treatments are. And in the second year, we see the same trend with the higher rate of compost producing the largest pool of stable nitrogen, and the organic amendments also producing large pools. And if we compare what we start with in the second year, we could see this year one is kind of a predictor of what we should see in the field, assuming kind of the worst case scenario. But we do see that we're building much larger pools of nitrogen in under field conditions than we would predict by lab conditions. So there is better efficiency of sequestration in the field. And again, there's larger pools at the end of year two. Moving to carbon, this is the carbon flux over the course of the experiment. Again, this first section is this year one experiment, and this is the year two experiment. As we saw with nitrogen, the largest flush comes initially following the start of the experiment, but only in the manure and paper mill sludge treatments. We don't see it with the compost. And then in the second year, if we focus in, there's a lot of variability here, and this is likely due to the disturbance of the soil and when they were taken out of the field, rather than any treatment differences. Again, this is a summary of the carbon data with the five treatments and the reference soil for each year. Looking first at the labile carbon, we see, again, the differences we just saw in that graph with the higher rates of losses in the manure and paper mill sludge. But we have to consider that the compost already lost a lot of that carbon in the composting process. And I didn't quantify that at all, but it would be something to consider when comparing those two, that it was lost, it's just not reflected here in this experiment. And then for year two, there are much smaller losses aside from that disturbance, CO2 that we saw. For stable carbon, again, organic treatments are sequestering much more carbon and stable carbon than the lime and fertilizer. Again, this compost, high rate of compost, is doing an excellent job of building a large pool. At the end of 2 years, we actually have highest pool with the manure and paper mill sludge at 31 ratio, but these are all pretty proportional to how much nitrogen or how much carbon we started with. So adding more carbon is helping build these pools. And again, what we would have predicted we would end up with at the end of year one is not what we actually see in year two. So we are building bigger carbon pools in the field. And there was biomass on all of these field plots, but all the yields were not different. So they were essentially receiving the same amount of biomass input carbon after that first year. So to summarize, for both years, for both experiments, these organic treatments were far superior to lime and fertilizer in building stable nitrogen and carbon pools. That's the goal, is to revegetate these sites and build up these pools so that they can be not only highly productive, but also be productive over long term. This is pretty important. We also saw that compost treatments were very effective at both minimizing nitrogen, labile nitrogen losses, but also building large carbon and nitrogen pools, but the manure and paper mill sludge was equally as effective. We didn't see any more leaching losses with those treatments under these intensive conditions, and we built pools that were pretty much just as big. And this is pretty important for the cost of mine reclamation. It's much cheaper to just directly apply manure and paper mill sludge, and especially with nutrient trading possibilities, it would be almost no cost to the mine operator. So that's pretty important, whereas compost costs a lot more money to manufacture. We also saw more microbial activity with the manure and paper mill sludge treatment. So this could possibly translate to enhance long-term nutrient cycling, perhaps soil structure. And while I haven't looked at any of that, we are planning in the future to try and quantify other soil properties that are being affected by this essentially in situ composting of poultry manure and paper mill sludge. And finally, what we would have predicted under a worst case scenario of leaching losses and after 1 year was not observed in the field. So actually these treatments in the field are even more efficient at sequestering carbon and nitrogen than we could predict. So thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. A recycled plant, okay. Yes.
And did it have lime in it, or?
It did. It did. So it contributed quite a bit of calcium carbonate to the soils and raised the pH pretty substantially. Yes.
In your model for use of this, are there plants, mills near the strip mine area?
Yeah, they're not far. They're pretty scattered throughout the state. And at this point in time, they will transport and dump for free, for no cost. They have to get rid of it, and they either have to pay to take it to the landfill, or they can just dump it on your mine site, wherever you want. All right, thank you.